Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 34, and reading through verse 43. It can be found on page 957 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Our epistle reading will come from 1 Corinthians. We'll be reading from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 through 11. It is found on page 1001 of your pew Bibles, and again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, in what terms I preach to you the gospel which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." And our gospel lesson will come from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, which is found on page 919 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. It's always been amazing to me that at one time, one of the big fights in our denomination was whether or not we were going to allow women to be preachers. It's amazing because all of the gospel writers tell us that it was the women who were the first to receive the proclamation of the empty tomb on that first Easter morning. It was the women who first came to the knowledge that Jesus was risen from the dead. The gospel writers certainly would not have included that little detail in their accounts if it were not true, because at that time, women were not considered to be reliable witnesses. In the prejudiced imagination of many men at the time, women were easily given over to flights of fancy and incredulity, and so the words of women were not taken very seriously. But in our text this morning, in Luke's gospel, we are told that it is the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the other women, who go to the tomb looking for Jesus. And it is the women who are the first to discover the empty tomb. And they go back and they tell the men what they have found, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has risen from the dead. But the men do not believe. They believe that the women are simply talking nonsense, that they are engaged in crazy talk, idle talk. You can almost hear the men talking. These women are overcome in their grief. Their eyes are clouded by their tears, and we men know that dead people don't get up and walk again. When you are dead, you're dead. So they believe that the women are simply telling an idle tale. But the resurrection is not some idle tale. It is not a bunch of crazy talk. It is about the power of God breaking into our world, overturning and defeating the last great enemy of humankind, the power of death. Of course, no one was expecting resurrection on that first Easter Sunday, not even the women. They had been the ones who were with the Lord from the very beginning. They were his most loyal followers. They were there when all the men had run away. They were the ones who got up early in the morning at the crack of dawn to go searching for Jesus. Not the risen Jesus whom we proclaim this morning, but Jesus crucified, dead, and buried. That's the Jesus that they were looking for. A Jesus smoldering away in the tomb. It's kind of surprising when you stop to think about it, because they, like all of Jesus' disciples, had witnessed the Lord's many deeds of power. They had witnessed him in the power of life, overcoming everything that portended death. They had witnessed his healing the sick. They were there when he opened the eyes of the blind. They had saw how he had cast out demons. They even heard him say how he himself would be arrested and crucified on the third, and on the third day would be raised from the dead. And you would think that maybe one of them would have filed that away and would have remembered it, so that when they would have gotten to the empty tomb, they would have said, "Hallelujah! Jesus is risen from the dead, just as he said he would." But they do not. They go to the tomb looking for death, expecting death. It is indicative of the powerful grip that death has over our hearts and our imaginations. We believe in death. We believe in the power of death. We believe that death has the last word. It's one of the reasons today that our nation is awash in guns is because we believe in death. It's one of the reasons today that our nation spends more on military armaments and hardware than the next four countries combined. We spend more than we spend on anything else, and we spend on education, than we spend on infrastructure. It's because we believe in death. We believe that our ability to rain down death is what can save us. It's one of the reasons that our society is divided and angry and resentful. It is because we believe in death. Our hearts and our minds have been captured by the power of death, and we believe that death has the last word. But Easter invites us to consider something else. Easter invites us to consider that there is a power and a force in the world that is more powerful than death. It is the power of love and the power of life. It is the power of God to overcome the power of death. And it's that power that is attested to by the angels in our gospel lesson this morning when they asked the women, "Why are you searching for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead." That's the news that the women go back. They go back to the men and they tell the men what they have discovered. And instead of the men again saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus is risen from the dead," they refuse to believe it. They believe that the women are just talking nonsense. Everyone knows that when you're dead, you're dead. But what the women are reporting is no idle tale. It is the good news that will shake up and transform the world. Easter, of course, is one of my favorite times of year. It is my favorite time in the Christian year. And every year it never fails. It seems that I always read an article about this time where some prominent Bible scholar or some prominent cleric is being interviewed, and they will be asked almost invariably about the resurrection. We'll ask, "Did it happen?" And the person will hem and haw for a while, and when they're finished, you're never quite certain what they believe. You never quite know if they believe it or not, and you want to say, "What do you believe? Do you believe it or not?" Well, for what it's worth, this morning, let me say unequivocally, what I believe. I believe the women. I believe that the tomb was empty. I believe in the bodily, physical resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Let me say that again. I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I'm glad to hear that you believe that as well. But it's important that we understand the full implications of what that means. What we say we believe means, because it's easy to shrink the vision of Easter so that its real power in our world is hidden. Easter is not just about Jesus being raised from the dead so that we might be able to go to heaven when we die. That's important, of course. We are concerned about going to heaven. That's where we all want to go when we leave this old world. But Easter is much bigger than that. Easter is not just about my own individual spirituality or my own individual relationship with God. Again, that is important. But Easter is bigger than that. Easter is about this world. It is about God's commitment to renew and to heal and to transform this world. This world that God created, this world that God loves, this world that God cares for, this world that is now held tightly in the grip of death, this world that you and I have made a mess of. It's this world that Easter is concerned about. Easter is God's declaration that the forces and powers of death will not have the last word in this world. It is God's declaration that the mess that we've made out of God's good creation will not have the last word. War will not have the last word. Greed will not have the last word. Hatred will not have the last word. Exclusion will not have the last word. The last word belongs to God. God will have the last word, not because God plans to destroy this world. God will have the last word because God has already undertaken to redeem this world through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So resurrection is about new creation in the bodily, physical resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is saying that God is committed to the material, physical redemption of our world. What God has done for Christ, God has promised to do for all of us, and indeed for the whole world. Resurrection is about the new creation. In Christ, you are a new creation. And so it's about the renewal and the reclaiming of this world. But Easter is also about something else. It's also about vindication. It's God's way of vindicating Jesus. God's way of saying that Jesus was right. Have you ever been vindicated? Have you ever been doing something and everyone said that the way you were doing it was wrong, it wasn't right, and then you were vindicated, you were shown to be right? Well, that's what God is doing in the resurrection. He is vindicating Jesus. I was watching the other day. Not a big golf fan, but I was watching the other day a little bit of the Masters, and they showed Tiger Woods winning the Masters after 10 years. The last time he won the Masters, I believe it was in 2009, and then he had a couple of rough patches in his personal life, and he left golfing, and then he came back to golfing, and his game was not nearly at the level it had been previous. And everyone was telling them, why are you going out there? You are embarrassing yourself. You're never going to be able to get back to that level of play that you played before. You need to leave and stop embarrassing yourself and stop devoting all of that time to trying to compete again at the level that you once competed at. But then last week, he won the Masters again at 43 years of age, 10 years after he won it last time. He was vindicated. All of that hard work was vindicated. All of that effort was vindicated. It feels good when you're vindicated. People who didn't believe in him thought that he would never be able to rise to that level of competitive game again, but he was vindicated. And that's what the resurrection is about. It's about God vindicating Jesus. It's about God saying that the way of Jesus is God's way. Jesus had a certain way. His passion was the kingdom of God. That's what was the center of his life. It was the kingdom of God. But Jesus realized that you cannot bring the kingdom in just any kind of way. And the way of Jesus was love. It was compassion. It was peace. It was inclusion of people who felt left out. It was good news for the poor and the broken and the vulnerable. That was the way that Jesus came into Jerusalem. But then he was crucified. And when he was crucified on the cross, people said, see, the Jesus way was not God's way. The Jesus way doesn't work. The way of love is not the way to bring in the kingdom. The way of peace is not the way to bring in the kingdom. We should never have included all of those sinners that Jesus was trying to include. It's not God's way. But then on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And God was saying, see, the way of Jesus is right. The way of Jesus is my way, the way of love, the way of forgiveness, the way of reconciliation, the way of compassion. It is my way. That is the way to the kingdom. That is the way to new creation. But we have to admit this morning that there are people who do not believe that. There are people who find it hard to believe. There are people who do not believe in new creation. There are people who do not believe in the way of love and forgiveness. There are people who do not believe in Easter. They think it is nothing more but a bunch of nonsense. And so what they prefer is to be sealed up in their tombs. And we know something about those tombs. Some of them are tombs of hatred. Some of them are tombs of anger and resentment. Seems like there's a lot of that in our day and age today. Some of them are tombs of greed and success, where we think that our success is the only thing that matters. Some people are sealed and locked up in tombs of family difficulty and strife. Some people are sealed away in tombs of guilt. They're the tombs of disappointment and despair. We all have our tombs. But Easter is not some fanciful tale. Easter is God's invitation for us to come out of our tombs. It's an invitation for us to hear the good news. is the invitation for us to stop trying to find life among the dead. Stop trying to make a living in the tombs. To come out and hear the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is risen, that he is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. And so we no longer have to be afraid. We no longer have to be mean-spirited. We no longer have to be shriveled up. We no longer have to be distrustful of one another. We can begin to live into that new creation that the resurrection is all about. What turned the minds of the male disciples, of course, was their own experience of the resurrected Lord. Peter will himself go running to the tomb and will find it empty. And Jesus himself will appear to the rest of his disciples, and they will be able to see for themselves the stunning good news that yes, Jesus has in fact been risen from the dead. But unfortunately, for many of the people in the world today, they will not be able to see Jesus in person. They will not be able to have a meal with the resurrected Lord as his disciples did. They will not be able to worship him in person as his disciples did. They will not be able to touch the wounds in his hands and in his side as his disciples were able to do. The only way that many people in our world is going to be able to see the resurrected Lord is if they see him in us. If they see him in you and me. And that's why what we believe this morning is so important. Because we've been called, the community, to go out and proclaim the stunning good news that Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead because you can see his life in us. You can see the new creation in us. We are the first fruits of the new creation. The power of death no longer has any hold over us. The powers of hatred, the powers of division, the powers of strife, the powers of greed, none of those powers have any hold over us. We are the people who proclaim in the very way that we live together and love one another and love God, that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. That's why Easter is not just an idle tale. It is the truth of who we are. It is the truth that can be confirmed and witnessed by how we go about living our lives. And so this morning, we too proclaim to a world that is moldering away in their tombs the stunning good news that Christ is risen, that death does not have the last word, that there's no reason for anyone to be afraid, are angry, are despairing, because God has the whole world in God's hands. And God's love is the most powerful thing in the world. It is that love that brought Jesus from the dead. It is that love that is operating in our hearts even now. And it's that love that will heal our families and our communities. And indeed, will heal the whole world. And it starts with us. It starts with Easter. It starts with the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so he will always be alive with us as we live as God's resurrection people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us together on this day to not only hear again, but to proclaim what seems so difficult for many people in our world to believe, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has defeated the powers and the forces of death. We ask, Lord, that you empower us with your Spirit to proclaim that in the midst of our own world, so that our world too will hear the good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Help us to be the resurrected body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our own world, so that people can see for themselves what resurrected glory looks like. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you are. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the risen one. Amen.